Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at this passage and then go to 1 Corinthians 15. This passage here in Romans describes all of us one time in our lives. Hopefully, it may describe someone even here today. But by God's marvelous grace, He redeemed us. I've always been a church kid. Man, I was raised up in church, and I thank God for it. Because there's just something good about being in the atmosphere of a church and being influenced by church. But God in His grace saw all of us as sinners. It's what the Bible says. So we all needed to be redeemed. And the only way was by God's grace. No other way. We didn't merit it. We can't earn it. We are His workmanship, and we ought to appreciate it so much that we'd gladly serve Him and work for Him. Let's start in Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's a pretty sad picture, isn't it? But God, forgive us. That's why we had to come to Him, and we needed forgiveness, and we needed cleansing. We needed to be redeemed. God, forgive us of all our sins. I need to say that again in our mind. God, forgive us of all of our sins. He brought us into a position of being His child. What a wonderful position. If you've been born again, you can say rightly that you're a child of God. I hope it means something. I know it does. If you can you imagine that? Being a child of God. Joint heir with Jesus. I don't begin to understand all of the benefits of that, but somewhere I wasn't going to use that's a message in itself. But in the scripture, let me read just a little bit about what that did for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "You also as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders has disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." And then he goes on, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are also the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 6. We quote that a lot. What know ye not? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in us. We've been bought with a price. Verse 20 in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians says, and we're citizens of heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. We sung about it just a moment ago. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things under his feet. And we are citizens of the kingdom of God, of heaven. All the privileges that comes with that is ours. I tell you, most church people, most people make the profession of faith, I don't think ever gets there and realizes what it's all about. It wouldn't be much backsliding, as Danny mentioned. I tell you, but you know, people may brag about if they're children of somebody's really important. But you know, I find out the children of some of the past presidents, they're wicked. If you find out that, in fact, they're more wicked than the average, don't have much to brag about, do they? I mean, being a child of some important person here doesn't carry much weight. We still got a wicked heart and need to be born again. It's not so negative to come from a poor background. Somebody, I don't know who I was visiting with, maybe somebody here, because I wake up in a new world now every day. But said, you know, I'm not ashamed of being born in a poor with a poor background. I said, I'm not either. A barefooted boy on the farm, the eighth child of nine, and then when I was 9 years old, to become a child of God. Can you imagine that? A son of God. God sent his only begotten son that I could become a son of God. This is too wonderful to me to even think about, really. Man, I need to think about it. I need to realize that. And we're talking about the pure, spotless, holy Lamb of God who knew no sin, that was made sin for us, the only begotten Son of God. We're all nothing. We've all gone astray. Even at the best, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And when we get closer we get to God and see true righteousness, then we realize it. If you don't think, you think you're doing good and you're pretty righteous, I'll tell you the reason why you think that. You're so far away. You haven't got lately a picture of true righteousness and what it's going to be like in the future. But God has made us with that potential of being, one day when we shall see him, we shall be like him. I was nothing, but I'm somebody today because of the fact I was born into as a family of God. God's grace. We were headed to an eternal hell. I'm talking about an awful place of hell. Do you still believe in there's an eternal hell? Do you still believe while we're sitting here in comfort this morning that there's multitudes in hell? Maybe hell's had to enlarge itself. And if you listen closely with that tuned in to the scriptures, you can hear the cries and the moans and the grinding of teeth. The Bible describes it. I don't believe there's any human words to describe how awful hell is. A burning, fiery place where the Bible says that the worm dieth not. There's never any rest, never any peace. We need to think about it. The only reason that we don't really rejoice in salvation, we've lost sight of what we were saved from. Amen. God lifted us out of the horrible pit. Amen. The miry clay, put our feet on solid rock. And he is establishing our going. That's where we are today, I trust. Our feet on a solid rock. Other foundations can no man lay, but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We need to build on that foundation. Now, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." And you ought to perk up your ears. Brother, I tell you what, make sure you're saved, and here's what it all means. "By what you saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." We need to realize we can have a vain belief that's not saving faith. False faith. "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, in whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep or are dead. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all, they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." You know, I thought about that this week, and I preached along this line about God's grace, wonderful grace. I thought about Titus. About the grace of God in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." That, you know, not only are we saved by grace, but we're sustained by grace, and it teaches us. Nothing teaches us better than to know where grace found us. Amen. And it also reminds us we are to look for that blessed hope that verse 13 says, and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This week I read again a testimony of a young missionary, and I know I've mentioned it before to you, who was going to Ecuador. This young man gave his testimony. It went like this. He said, "Folks, I was an orphan kid." He said, "I lived in 12 different orphan homes, foster homes." Just think about that. 12 different homes for a little kid. He said, "A couple of those homes, those people looked at me and said, 'We don't really love you. We just have to take care of you.' And that's awful. A child ought to be able to live in a home where he knows he's loved." He said, "The last one I lived in, they took me to church. The first Sunday that I went to church, the preacher got up and said, 'God loves everyone in this room.' I said in my heart and mind, 'No, he doesn't. He doesn't love me. If he loved me, what am I doing in this home? How come I've been in all these other homes if God loved me? I didn't believe that.' But he said, they took me again the next Sunday, and the preacher got up and said, Jesus died for you. He loved you so much that he died for you, and he wants to save you. And I didn't believe that either. I didn't believe anybody loved me. My mom and dad didn't love me. These people that are just putting up with me, they don't really love me. They just feed me and take care of me. Nobody loves me, he said. Then on the third Sunday, he said, I went back. In the meantime, the Holy Ghost was working in my heart. And that is a must that that happens. That preacher got up, and I felt like he looked just at me, and he said, let me tell you something. God loves everybody in this room. And if you're not saved, he wants you to be saved. He came to seek and to save. He said, that morning I got saved by the grace of God. Then in time, he said, I surrendered for the mission field. And I'm going to the mission field. And then he read the 10th verse of this 1 Corinthians 15. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And I trust that that's a part of the scriptures that all of our read that gets to us, that his wonderful grace was not given to us in vain. He said, I don't want God to waste his grace on me. And that's what Paul said. Or did he get what he paid for? He paid a tremendous price. It's no cheap grace. It's no easy grace. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's the title of the message this morning. Has God wasted his grace on you? I asked that question myself. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said, and his grace, which was given me, bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Say, if you're here today and you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, you are that way because God gave his grace to you. You couldn't do nothing. I tried to promise. I promised God when he was dealing with me, I promised him I'd do this and do that. And I wanted salvation, no doubt about it. Now, but he said in the same verse, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. One day, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm very conscious of that. I've always been conscious of that. We're going to give account. We won't hear much about it as we ought to. It's not going to be a fun time. No matter what you think you've done with your life. If I could, I would hide from that. But there's nowhere to hide. Everyone, the scripture says, got to give account. Even to the point of idle words. No way to get away from it. But boy, I don't want God to look at me and call me by name. Said, Parker, I took you from nothing. I saved you. Called you to preach. Then the rest of it will be the results. Did he waste his grace on me? So I'm asking you today, is God wasting his grace? I'm talking to someone, no doubt, where you're not as serious as you ought to be about the price that was paid. I'm not especially a fan of Dottie Rambo, which she's been into eternity now several years, but there's two or three songs she wrote that I really appreciate. And she gave a testimony that I read somewhere. She said, once a year, I resolved at least once a year to write a song to the hearts of Christians everywhere. Well, that she did, I no doubt. she and her husband was going through a rough time in their marriage, and she's doing a lot of concerts, making a lot of money, she said. And she said, suddenly I realized I was not living close to the Lord. I was not riding under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I also realized that I have never done anything to merit all the goodness of God. All the recognition and the fame that she was enjoying. She said, I got back to realizing that all that I had done is to accept that gift because of the grace of God, of salvation, what he did on the cross. So during this time, he said, the group flew to Holland to do a number of concerts. And when we got off the plane there, the people who picked us up, as we rode along to go to the little motel or hotel, said they informed us that while we were there, doing the concerts, we were not to sing about the cross of Christ. And she said, how can a gospel singer not sing about the cross of Christ? Amen. She said, I looked at the young man who was escorting us and asked him, do you mean we're not allowed to sing about the cross to these Christians? And that's about the way it is today. Yeah. And he said, no, they don't. They consider it kind of gory. They consider it bloody. They don't want to hear about the blood and the cross. She said, I looked at him, and I was old enough to be his mother. I said, son, if you won't tell them you told me, I'll pretend that I didn't know it, because I will be singing about the cross. Yeah. And about the blood of Christ. She said, in the concert that very night, she sung that song, one of my favorites, that she wrote, he looked beyond my fault. Saw my need. It kind of goes like this. Amazing grace will always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I don't know why he ever came to love me so. And he looked beyond my faults. So I need. She said the Lord really got in it that night. Said people was wiping tears all over, and she looked down to the young man, the escorter, and he also. Amen. She said she got back to that little hotel that night. Lights were off, and she was looking up to the ceiling. She said, God, I apologize. We're so stupid. And tell you the truth about it, we might be able to say about the same thing. That we wouldn't even want to hear about the blood of Christ, his cross, his grace. She said, God, I really apologize. She said she laid there in the darkness, and this song came to her. I boast not of works, nor tell of good deeds. For naught have I done to merit his grace. All glory and praise shall rest upon him, so willing to die in my place. My trophies and crowns, my robes stained with sin, 'twas all that I had to lay at his feet. Unworthy to eat from the table of life, till love made provisions for me. And then we probably know, because I will glory in the cross. Yes, sir. Glory in the cross, lest his suffering all be in vain. I will weep no more for the cross he bore. I will glory in the cross. I'll tell you the truth about it. It's all we got to glory in. That's all we got. Yes, yeah. I'm talking about this morning about marvelous grace that Paul said in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Wonderful grace. We like that old song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. In nursing homes, sometime Asher used to go with me and Brother Board, and I found out whether they're saved or not. Everybody, God blesses that song. A lot of times we sing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. It was God's grace hung us out over eternity and helped us to see. And grace my fears relieved. John Newton, the old slave trader, God got a hold of his heart. I think the story always goes on that after he got saved, his life was so changed that instead of trading those slaves, he tried to get up to do all he could to minister to them. It used to be more precious to some of us than it are this morning. And that's sad. We used to read that and weep. Hardly believe it. And in our hearts we'd say, oh dear God, I can't believe you gave me the grace. That great grace of God. I'm not talking about just a lack of growth this morning. That we all perhaps know that we're not growing like we should spiritually. I'm talking about just getting on our face to God and say, oh God, I want to get back to the time when I realized the greatest of what it meant for you to die for me. And it'd do something in our hearts. That's what it takes to get a revival. We're so mechanical often, not care. We just come to church and it doesn't matter to us much anymore. I want to ask you something. Are you wasting the grace of God? It's been given to you. Don't waste the grace of God. One of the verses says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, he's already brought me. I've already come. And it's grace that's brought me safe this far. And grace will lead me on. Paul said, I labor. Do you know why he labored? Because of the grace of God. He labored more than some of us don't think. That's trouble with these kids getting saved when they're young. They're pretty innocent and don't think they were saved from much. They need to know they're saved from an eternal hell. Amen. They were just as lost. I don't care what age they got under conviction. Unbelief is the worst sin that anyone could commit. And when we're saved from that and put our faith and trust in the Lord. When I first got saved, I don't care how young you are. At 9 years old, my mentality probably was behind the average 9 years old now. I mean, no doubt about it. Boy, when I went to church, we turned to some of the old songs. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Amen. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I saw the light. I don't see much. It meant something. I'll tell you the truth about it. I'm glad. I'm glad I was raised without any television, without any. And when you get eternity, you wish you hadn't. We're caught up in this here and now, this electronic age, that we can't get along with God and get into His precious Word. And find out what it means to be a child of His. Paul said, I labored. And then you, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm sorry, but I cannot begin to identify with what Paul went through. And I doubt if you can either. There's no doubt some people alive, some missionaries, and you read the biography of some of the early missionaries, and they could identify. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22 and 23, he said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death often. We knock on somebody's door and they slam the door in our face. We think we're persecuted, don't we? Has anybody here been in death often for the cause of Christ? Anybody here? A lot of stripes. Close. Let's read a little farther in verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39. I think five times 39, if my arithmetic is right, is 195 times. By the grace of God, he says, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Then in verses 25 and 26, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Hey. Let me say this. And we, in our day, rather than suffer a little bit, we compromise. We won't take a stand. Afraid somebody's going to look down at us, call us a fanatic. We need to read it often and study about it. Every time I read it and think about it, I say to in my heart, I'm gonna stick with the old King James Bible. I want the kind of songs sung that speaks to my heart, that has a message from God's Word in it. I'm going to stick with that kind of song. I don't care for some of this little light cornflakesy stuff, Brother Tully. He kids me once in a while. Someone preached years ago, if you always do what you've always did, you'll always get what you always got. No doubt that's true. Hey, somebody say, boy, I want my son or my daughter to get an old-fashioned girl, you know. I want them to get, but they won't get it until we have an old-fashioned church and have an old-fashioned home and raise some old-fashioned. Let me say this. Not very many homes stays together anymore, and you know that, to the point where they don't even get married anymore, not very many. We want everybody to like us. I want everybody to like me. But if they don't like me, Andrew or Asher reminds me. I've said this before, and he don't hear much I preach. But he says, you can go and jump in the lake and swallow a snake and have bellyache. I don't think that be good to tell people that, but I'll tell you what, that's what I think. Brother, if they don't like the truth of God and the grace of God, they just have to lump it. And I'm not being mean. But I'll tell you what, compromising will never get the job done. They can go opposite of heaven if they want to. But Paul said, my own countrymen were after me to kill me. And we think we've been persecuted. And sometimes, you know, there have been a lot of people who didn't want to identify with this kind of church. That's all right. We're in a free country. But I tell you what, I don't know how you can get in the Bible and be satisfied, because we're not all that great. Man, we're not near as fundamental as we ought to be, and we're not near as fanatical as we ought to be. I mean, if you think we are, get in the book of Acts, go to Brother Board's class Tuesday night, isn't it? And you'll see what the action of the early church really is, what they believed. Or you can go to Brother Tully's class on Monday night, and it'll help too. But sometimes we think if we serve God, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Who told you that? It didn't come from the Bible. He goes on to say, in journey often in perils, water in verse 26. Perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen. Did I read that? I don't think so. In weariness and painfulness in verse 27. Watching often in hunger and in thirst and fasting often in cold and in nakedness. I don't know what it's like to suffer for Christ. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I come in here and go in my closet on Sunday morning and get a suit that's fairly decent and dress and come behind the pulpit and listen to a choir sing nice and we sit in a pew. But boy, if we don't get something in our hearts to go out and say, I want to stand for him.
Yes, sir.
And by the grace of God, I will. I was saved by that grace. That grace teaches us to deny ungodliness wherever it is. Could you match up to what Paul was going through? No. I can't either. But Paul didn't allow the grace of God to be wasted in his life, and that's a thought. A lot of difference in the typical today. And I've read, and I'm not taking time to share in any of the biographies of some people that's went through that sort of thing. The only way that these people could face what they faced, to get where we are, that we might have the gospel presented to us, a lot of people paid the price. They paid the price. You read, how many's ever read The Trail of Blood? And you may need to read it. But let me say, and could it be this generation that dropped the ball? This church age, time I was born in 1935 to whenever my death date, that we've let it all slide. And we'll have to stand before God and say, we did it. We did it. God help us. I know. And I know some of you. And let me say, the church didn't get where it go by easiness. And some of you been with us all along knows, and some of you been in them old buses when we had buses and brought in 250. Danny was telling me, and he was crying on my shoulder. No, he wasn't. He said, he told Darren. Darren was one of the first babies born in the church. And he said, he's telling, they'd wrap him up in a blanket in that old bus. And Danny might have been speaking evangelistically, but he said it was 20 below zero one morning. and they pushed it, wouldn't start. They pushed the thing down to drive and finally got it hit and start and went to pick up kids 20 below zero. And I believed him. But hey. And now we have vans with heaters on them and air conditioners on them and not too many in line wanting to get out there and pick up these boys and girls. And I'll tell you what. Look, they may not behave too good, but they behave as good as our kids. Terry, you remember those days. Oh, Terry, he liked kids. He just a big kid himself, that's why. Hey, it's by the grace of God. We didn't do it because it was fun. We did it because that's our only hope. And God blessed. If Jesus loves the little children, so should we. A lot of churches said, well, they mess up the building too bad. Sad, too bad. Let them mess. I believe we need to try to keep God's buildings. But I'll tell you what, the real building we need to be make sure clean is this one here, where the Holy Spirit lives. And I'm circling the field. If you're getting a little nervous, it's getting bad out there. Work with little kids. Jeff, you got up here today. Sometimes I know they get out sooner than we do, and they've got to sing Jesus Loves You 100 times. And that's why Lucas the other day said, when you get done, shut up. You know I'm not going to listen to a grandson-in-law. I tell you what. It takes the grace of God. There's not, we're not wasting the grace of God. I don't want the grace of God to be poured out on my life and to be wasted. God, don't let me waste your grace. I wish all of us go with that in mind. God, don't let me waste your grace. And it's being wasted in your life if you're not serving God in sincerity and in truth. People around us need to see the grace of God working in our life. Let's bow our heads.